Today we are reading from Jeremiah chapter 29. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find welfare. I'm reading from Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be like water and sunlight to the truth that you have planted in our souls. Amen. And he was a Samaritan. Doesn't that one little mini sentence there in the middle just wrap up that whole scripture? Did you notice it as Suzanne was reading? I mean, you can put the emphasis differently. You can be like, "And he was a Samaritan." You know, it means the same. It amounts to the same. It captures so much of the meaning of that parable right there, right there. And did you know it? I had to do a little research, and let's see if I can remember it. So the Samaritans, and maybe you know this from the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? The Samaritans were this group of Jews who were not practicing the same Orthodox Judaism. So the Jews had sort of rejected them, and they'd isolated themselves to some extent. And so I went and read up, and it's because they had moved north at a point. They had sort of split the tribes. And they had moved north, and then they were conquered by the Assyrians thousands of years before this text was written. And the Assyrians had then intermarried. And so there was a sense of ostracizing that came. And over those next thousands of years, as those cultural practices intermingled, their practice of Judaism shifted and changed. And they ended up shifting, and they no longer worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem, but they forswore the priests and the temple in Jerusalem, and they started to worship in a different place further north. And therefore, there was this animosity. And actually, the main sort of core of the tribes went and destroyed the Samaritans' temple at a point. So that animosity bubbled over into actual violence at some points. And we see that in our world today, right? Where places of worship are terrorized or bombed, where we desecrate one another's holy sites. This is not an old story. This is a story that resonates with us today, and that animosity sits so that the children of the children's children's children don't quite know why, but they know, oh, he was a Samaritan. You know how that is? You can't really remember why, but that's a that kind of person, that other person. That we don't want our children around, or we don't want to live next door to, or that sense that we have as humans. And what happened eventually was that the Samaritans ended up, after thousands of years, being surrounded by the Orthodox mainline Jewish peoples. And did you know, as the people who lived further north came down to the temple on pilgrimage, they would actually take extra effort to avoid the whole region where the Samaritans lived? That's how deeply woven this animosity became in the culture. Now, I know that when we take flights, we go onto orbits, right? And we plan our trip according to how long it's going to take us. And we don't mind if that trip shoots us out to various layovers and places. We just look for the cheapest flight, right, that's going to get us there the quickest. But they weren't flying, y'all. They didn't have orbits. They weren't just looking it up online. They were walking. So when I say they avoided the region when the Samaritans lived, that means they chose to walk further, much further, to avoid them. It's a desert. Wow. Do you see how deeply woven this sense of animosity was? How deeply woven the sense of othering was? This is the moment into which Jesus speaks these parables about the Samaritan. This is Luke's message to us. Luke speaks about loving our enemies in chapter 6. Loving our enemies. But in the story of the Good Samaritan, do you remember that one? In the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke is saying that we need to love our worst enemies. Our worst enemies. That Jesus came to tell us about an indiscriminate kind of love. A radical inclusion in which a Samaritan would get off his donkey and put the Jew onto the donkey, take care of him, pay the innkeeper. Do you see how radical this is in the face of the differences between these two groups of people? Now, the Samaritan leper is similar to the Good Samaritan in that the Samaritan leper is a loving subject, gives praise to God, gives thanks to God, receives the blessing of God, gives forth that goodness and that thanksgiving, shows forth the love of God as a subject, right? Shows forth that love to the world, embodies the very thing, note, that we're supposed to embody. Embodies that very thing that we're supposed to when we know the goodness of God, when we are God's people or claim to be. But here's the difference with the Samaritan leper. Not only is the Samaritan leper prepared to turn back and give praise to God, to be a subject of God's love in the world, to thank Jesus for the blessing of the healing, but the Samaritan leper is also the object of godly love. Is also the object of godly love, is the recipient of God's goodness, God's love, and God's healing. And that extends what we're learning through the Gospel of Luke from Jesus' parables. That extends it. Because sometimes we think of loving our enemies as loving those who persecute us, and that is hard. That is hard, right? And we tend to avoid enemies, often for good reason, let's face it, right? And so the call to love those very people is very obvious in the gospel message, and we understand how hard that is, and we wrestle with it. And we focus on it a lot in our Christian walk, because we have to. It is one of the most difficult things we have to do. But how often do we think of our enemies not really only as our enemies, but the neighbors who we have come to avoid? Those who may even live in our midst, in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our county, in our state, in our nation, in our world, who we simply move past, who we no longer see, as I was sharing last week, who we begin to avoid in all too convenient ways, but ways that are not even obvious to us. Luke's gospel is calling us, is presenting to us the Samaritans as models of the dual commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and also to model the love of God that Deuteronomy speaks of. Loving God with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls. Perhaps Luke was aware of the fact that the Samaritans shared with Jews those traditions when he shared these parables. But this is a revolutionary way for the Jewish Messiah to imagine the kingdom of God. This is a radical way for the Jewish Messiah to imagine the kingdom of God, to hold up Samaritans not only as subjects of God's love, the ones who are able to deliver God's love, but to also hold up Samaritans ostracized in Jewish community as the ones who are the object of God's love, the recipients of God's love. And the call to us, the call to each one of us, as we try to be Christ's hands and feet, embodying the love and compassion and justice and peace of God in the world, is to seek to love not only those who we want to see, but those who we do not necessarily see, those who are on the margins of our society, those who are the foreigner amongst us, those who need to live in the shadows of our social structure. Those are our Samaritans, who we are called to see as worthy of God's love, as worthy of our love. Amen.